Spanish is called, but we're close to Highway 18, the Highway 18 bridge, and we're on the edge of the Piedmont National Wildlife Refuge. And
there's a train going by.
And Sarah is cleaning her face with, I don't know, OxyPads or something.
No, these are the Trader Joe's cleansing pads. It's my best camping trick.
I'm jealous.
I'm sure she'll share.
Do you want one?
I'd love one.
Okay.
This is how you do it, folks.
Yeah. This is the way you do it. This is how you camp.
Yep.
So we've, this train sound
Maybe
has
I
been
take one
really,
as well, yeah. Not to be let out.
See, you're all jealous.
I'm not jealous. But here, I think there might be two in there.
Oh.
Yeah,
they're
okay,
thin.
Great.
So this train sound has been pretty present for with us for the last few days, because the train went by our camping spot for the last two nights as well. Now we're a little further away, but I'm kind of glad. I was a little worried I would never hear such an amazing train sound again, but tonight we get to hear her. All the I mean, it is industry.
Yeah.
Up and down, all over, through your body. You feel it.
You feel the movement of things, movement of minerals, movement of people moving through Georgia in its own flow, in its own set of time.
It's really mostly things.
On these freight trains.
Yeah.
Right?
There's not much passenger trains. I mean, there are the people who are driving the trains,
right,
of course.
Yeah.
But what are they moving? Do we know?
Freight from the port.
So it's like anything that's being shipped in.
From Savannah, probably.
Yeah. From Savannah. Interesting.
I mean, that's a big port.
Yeah.
Nearby. But anyway. Today has been amazing. We notably got caught in a storm. We had...
Our first storm of the trip, really.
Yeah, we had... the three of us and Kit and Mary Carson. And
amazing support team.
Amazing support team, indeed. And James and my two boys with us on the river as we took off from Juliet around close to noon today.
Yes. We had a very...
protracted.
Yeah, protracted exit.
And we took off just, about a half an hour before the storm.
It was at least an hour.
Started to roll in. We tried to outrun the storm for another about half an hour until we got actually caught in. Heavy winds. Heavy winds and high rain. And so
it moved in very fast once it finally did settle in.
And we kind of ended up going to different sides of the river.
Yeah. We
that was interesting, actually.
We hid.
I'm just so glad Eden followed you, because I was sort of next to him or close to him.
So who is him, first
Eden,
of all?
My son, my 7-year-old.
Right.
Yeah. But Mary went one way and you were going another way, and I decided to follow Mary, and I was just like so glad that Eden followed you.
Well, there was a really nice couple who was standing on the banks who said, come over here. And so so me and the kids and then James went over to them and huddled under the trees for a little while until the rain started getting harder. And it was a very hard rain, and there was lightning and thunder. And so they sort of threw down a rope, and we pulled ourselves up the bank, and then brought the kids in and wrapped them in towels and put them on a heater and gave them some Kool-Aid. And we had a great conversation. And Peggy had worked at the hospital for 40 years, and Jimmy had been a firefighter. Until he retired, and then He called. So we were in there, and the other guys were still on the other bank. And so Jimmy somehow told y'all to go to D's. I think he called.
So yeah. the storm slowed down. And
James called me.
Mm-hmm. And James called and said, we had noticed that you got out. And also Kit started just crossing over. So we followed him. And by the time we got there, we started to figure out that you guys had called your mom.
No, James had told me that.
Oh, okay.
Was like, I'm not getting out here. She didn't feel like she could get out there.
Because you did have to scale a rope up a big money bank.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
And so we thought, well, we need a break. That's why I felt like we were going for at least an hour, hour and a half. But we were kind of wanting a break anyway. And so we were like, well, let's go find a flat place.
Yeah. And to so take a break. Jimmy, your host, suggested that we go down about a quarter mile to D's and Jeff's.
He was like, there's a landing about a quarter mile down.
Yeah.
And then I was like, are they your friends? He's like, yeah, we're all friends. And then I was like, what's your name? And he said, Jimmy. So then that's how we knew to yell out.
Jimmy sent us.
Jimmy, are you Jimmy's friends?
Because Jeff and Dee and their family were out on their porch, and they said, how are you guys doing? We pulled up to their bank, and they said, what are you guys doing?
And we're like, we're looking for a landing. And they were so
Jimmy
nice.
Jimmy sent us.
Jimmy sent us over. And they were so nice, and they, like, carried all of our boats, and oh, my God, they were incredible. They gave us beer.
And dried our clothes.
They threw our clothes in the dryer. Yeah. They were so amazing. And
peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they told us really great stories.
Really good stories. They also had, he goes gator hunting.
Yeah.
And there was a gator skull in the... Yeah.
There was one on the table, too. Did you
oh,
see
really?
The one
I
the,
didn't
yeah, there
see
was
that
one on the dining room table.
No. But such nice people. And it really brings up, like, the fact that we ended up in this storm and ended up in these two different households, you know, and both had incredible experiences with folks. I mean, it's indicative of the project as a whole and what we've been doing all along. Like, everyone we meet has just been so nice and generous and welcoming and excited. But it's like, yeah, it's just really humbling and overwhelmingly beautiful to actually experience these moments of serendipitous hospitality, you know? So I think that definitely, like, experiencing the first storm under the tree and then experiencing such kindness from the folks on the banks has been really powerful today.
And when I said, so we called my parents and they came and picked up Arlo Aiden, and, they tried to get down the driveway, but they couldn't get down the driveway because there had been a big, tree that fell, in the driveway during the storm.
During this storm?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And so James and Jimmy had to jump in the truck with the saw and get out and haul the branch out.
Oh my God, I didn't hear this part.
And then they still couldn't pass because there was, like, kind of flooding from, again, the rain. But I was, you know, thanking Jimmy, and he said, it's just what you do on the river. It's just the river, right?
Mm.
And I think that in addition, I mean, we've had this experience. I don't think it's so much that the project brings us out in people. I think that this is already there, and we are seeking to see something that is already there.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder what our blinders are to seeing that in the first place, what our sort of skewed vision is, or our skewed listening is, that makes us not really aware of it.
Do you mean aware of it just like in generosity in general,
maybe,
or
so? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this fabric, I mean, it's a fabric of community. It's a fabric of hospitality. It's a fabric of caretaking that exists alongside fabrics of hostility and strife and all the other things that the, you know, that our news channels and papers like to, you know, or, you know, report rightly so that we're aware of things. But it's, you know, we have a very skewed vision of what the our society is like right now. It's skewed largely towards the negative. And I'd say that, rather than this project bringing anything out in people, it's drawing us closer to something that's already there. And so we were in pretty good need of help, and it came without any need for reciprocity, and which is the humbling part of it to me.
Wait, can you say more about the without the need for reciprocity? Like, what? Just like,
so we didn't give anything. I mean, like, we get people. One of the basic things that people love is to help other people, mm-hmm. because it makes them, you know, feel like a whole range of feelings that are positive, mm-hmm. for, you know, that are pro-social feelings, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. But you know, outside of giving people an opportunity to do one of the things that, as social creatures, we love to do, you know, we're not. You know, they don't need anything from us. They didn't ask anything from us, and we in most ways didn't give them anything outside of that, you know? And that's
I'm just interested in, cuz the like nothing transactional, but I think reciprocity is like always kind of present in a way. But that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I could. Yeah, I mean, in a way. But I just think there's a pureness of the of the generosity that is not like
expecting anything.
That's not looking and not actually, you know, banking anything in return. You know,
Can I offer another view of that?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe the reciprocity is an understanding that if somebody were in their shoes. Or if they were in that person's shoes, somebody would help them, right? So that's, I feel like that's also something that, you know, I find it as part of generosity is that you're kind of paying it forward. It's not like you're expecting something, but it's more like trust and faith, right? That it will be there for you when you need it. And I don't know if that fits into the framework of reciprocity, but
I think it does.
It can, maybe. Interesting thing to think about.
So
after that experience, we traveled on down the water good ways, and then we've landed at many other things happened, you know, that y'all might want to talk about, but also I guess notable is that we've landed at a campsite in the making, I guess, of David Green, and he helped us. He showed up on the edge of his property and with his little, I don't know, maybe 2-year-old daughter, 1.5-year-old, somewhere around there. And they've been swimming in the river and just enjoying being outside. And he hauled up
like
the boat.
I feel like she was 3 because she was kept on saying, why? Don't they always say why when they're 3? Isn't that the age for the why?
Everybody.
There's a lot of whys,
There's a lot of whys, he just really graciously hauled up boats and moved ladders around and welcomed us to stay at his place. And again, it was very easy hospitality, which I think is probably a theme for the day. Easy hospitality for me anyway.
What did it feel like for you to have your kids out there on the water with you today?
Well, I like them being out on the water. I feel like the storm moved in pretty quick, but also we knew it was coming. So there's part of me that would be like, okay, we could have planned this better. And maybe this was like, you know, there is a... As much as I say, like, storms in the South can be really severe, I don't know how much that, like, I mean, it's, like, it's true. I don't know how, like, I know how bad storms can be, you know, and it's not a thing to really mess with, you know, so I think it's something to think about, kind of, the cavalierness in which to of being out on the water when a storm is gonna come, you know, and I guess having my kids out there like just doubles down on that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. And
go ahead.
It was very, it felt really great that there was somebody on the banks.
Mm-hmm.
Shouting at us to come over.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Eden had a little experience in the water earlier in the day.
Oh, yeah, but he did fine. I mean, it wasn't...
Yeah, yeah.
Like I mean, we've all had our experiences in the water, and mm-hmm. I think he did pretty baller, right?
Oh, yeah. He did great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think... but I also have been... enchanted by their enchantments of an enjoyment.
Yeah, right.
That has been contagious and lovely to have around too.
It's humbling as well, right? Because it's like, okay, we're moving faster than everybody, but then that makes us like stop on a sandbar, and then they're like, why do we have to? We don't need boats. We're mermaids just floating along in the water, and it's like so playful and present, and the enjoyment of the. Of where they are is really rich, in a way that we can, I think we're more removed from, no matter how much we want to be in tune, it's much more present for them.
Yeah, play.
Play, but also, I mean, like, it's much more, like, immediate for them is, like, how am I feeling? What is going on around me? How am I in tune with my environment?
Right now.
What's the imaginative, you know, experience of being in relationship to this place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's something we have to work at and try to make time for and try to make space for.
We have to schedule it in.
Yeah, but they're just there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so true. And
it's like, okay, the rain is coming in.
Yeah.
That's fucking miserable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like not ice rain, but the water, the wind is cold.
Well, the wind was cold, but it was also a little scary. And, you know, it moved in so fast. I don't think Eden really even, we had said for him to come to one side. And I think it caught him by surprise. He couldn't get over. So he went almost by default over to the other side, you know. So it was a intimidating.
I think he went towards
the
mama.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad about.
That's the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also just really grateful for Mary in that moment. Because on our side, she was
she was very calm.
She was very calm, and she was like, stay here, put
so
your paddle
Kit.
In. Yeah, they were just like, I'm grateful that we experienced the first storm with them, because I feel like now, next time, if when something hits, when we're out on the water, I will know what to do. Whereas, I think we could have tried to intuit that, but I feel like now I have a much better sense of what needs to happen.
And I think we should get off quicker than we did today.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is logistics talk rather than reflection.
all
right. That's it. This was a long one, guys.
Yeah. Lot to say.
Lot to
Big
say.
Big day.
Big day.
Okay. Day 9.
Big day. Last words.
Good night.